Tuesday the 4th of November, Rav Mara Keshvan, Dr. Yossi Adler, bone marrow and kidney donation, mitzvah or chosid shota.
Thank you for inviting me back. Interesting introduction that I've given today, because that's exactly really the subject that we plan to discuss. So it's interesting, it turns out that that's just what you were talking about. Perhaps previously we've discussed more directly practical questions, but what I want to discuss today is a couple of shilas which are of practical importance, not that often to the individual, though obviously they come up for individuals, but also things which the Kehillah as a whole perhaps should be aware of in terms of our attitude towards this question. The question of transplantation, organ transplantation, is a massive subject, and most of the focus of organ transplantation is the question of taking organs after a person's passed away and using those for a transplantation to save somebody else's life. That's not what I want to discuss today. What I want to discuss today is the question of live organ donation. That means what is one permitted or mechuyev to do, to give of one's own organs, one's own health, in order to save the life of somebody else. And for practical purposes, we're really discussing two main areas. One is the question of bone marrow transplantation. Including that, we should also just mention the question of blood donation. Blood is also an organ. It's also something which the body and health is dependent upon. Then there's the question of kidney donation. That means somebody who's got kidney failure, who's been treated with dialysis, who can be treated by having a transplant. By far the best way you can, and frequently there are transplantation is done from donors who have died. The results are by far the best if you have a compatible live donor. I mean, somebody's got two healthy kidneys who's prepared to donate one of his kidneys to save the life of a person who's in kidney failure. Is one permitted to donate one's kidney? Is one mechuyev to donate one's kidney? And then to a lesser extent, there are operations where people donate one lobe of the lung or one lobe of the liver, and you've got enough left to live on without it, and that can be a life-saving procedure. So the basic question here really which we're dealing with is, can or must a donor take any risk to save the recipient's life? Perhaps you should deal quickly first with the question of bone marrow and blood donation. The risk of giving blood is minimal, virtually zero, and therefore it would be understood that if you've got a patient who's ill who needs blood and you've got compatible types, that you would be mechuyev to give blood to that patient. And then that's what most of the poskim say. There's a tshuva, Rav Ozman's got a tshuva in Chelek Hay, where he says that the chiyuv, since the risk is so minimal, is a chiyuv to give blood, or even if they're slightly more complicated procedures like giving platelets, which means that you have to be hooked up to a machine for an hour or two, they remove the blood from your body, from that blood they remove the platelets, they concentrate for the platelets, and then they give you back your blood, and your blood then regenerates the platelets very quickly, and the platelet concentrate is then given to the patient. That's an uncomfortable procedure and it takes some time, but there's very little or no risk involved with it, and therefore we know that the chiyuv l'samad amreyata, if you can do anything to save somebody's life, as we were just discussing, you're mechuyev to do it, and therefore most of the poskim say in such a case, if one's got compatible blood and you know there's a patient who needs it, one's mechuyev to give the blood in that situation, one's mechuyev to do it. It's interesting, just this morning I saw a tshuva from Wallenberg, which is not in Tzitz Eliezer, but it's published in Halacha Refuah, Chelek Dalet. And there he's got a very surprising tshuva, where he says that in fact one cannot be mechayev a person to give blood, because the din of ki adam hu ha-nefesh. Blood is an intrinsic part of one's soul, as it were, and if one gives up more than a revius of his dam, in a way one's giving up one's soul, and therefore you can't be mechayev a person. Obviously he says it's a mitzvah to do it, and it's a person to be encouraged to do it, but you couldn't not be mechayev a person to do it. It's interesting, in his children's Shevet HaLevi, Rav Ozman says, brings a riot from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. He says it was practiced in previous time that they used to do bloodletting as a refuah. So you see that there's no danger in bloodletting. You see it must be a perfectly safe procedure. On the contrary, people did that as a treatment for various illnesses. He turns that round, Rav Ozman, and he says, on the contrary, you see from the Gemara in Shabbos that Hakadosh Baruch Hu was a big deal, and there's all different halachas about it, when you can do it, how you can do it, and the person, all the precautions the person had to take. So you see that unless it was in order to for this healing process, which they thought it would do, it wouldn't have been permitted. So therefore, Rav Oldenburg says that one's certainly not mechuyev to give platelets or anything which is complex, even blood. Certainly, if it makes a person feel weak, one's not mechuyev to make a person not mechuyev to make himself feel weak in order to save life. But obviously, if the person was prepared to do it, it's a mitzvah. But that most of the poskim don't say like that. Most of the poskim say that when faith, we're not here talking about generally being a blood donor. That's a different question. But generally, if I'm faced with a patient and one knows that those patients, especially one's got a rare blood group type, and one knows that their patients are dependent on your donation, most everybody would say there's a mitzvah involved in doing it, and most possibly would say there's a chiyuv to do it. Bone marrow donation is not very different from that, because the risks involved in bone marrow donation are also extremely small. There is the risk of bone marrow now is done actually in two ways. Most people do it through stem cell transplant, so through cell transplantation. That means that they get an injection that increases the number of stem cells, then they undergo a procedure to remove those stem cells, so it doesn't even involve an anesthetic. But some bone marrow donation is still done by taking bone marrow from the patient under anesthetic, and then from the donor under anesthetic, and then infusing it into the patient. And there is obviously the risk of a general anesthetic. But other than the risk of the very small risk of the general anesthetic and the very small risk of infection and so on, the risks involved in those procedures are very minimal. And therefore, again, most poskims say that when faced with a patient, there is a mitzvah, certainly everybody would agree there's a mitzvah, in order to give that. We'll come on to the details of this shortly. But that's the basic outline, that where the risk to the donor is extremely small as in these situations, and obviously the benefit, the life-saving benefit the person is going to get it is extremely great, then most possibly would say that one, certainly that there's a mitzvah to do it, and there possibly could even be a chiyuv to do it. We'll come on to this in a little more detail. The reason I'm mentioning this is because there is a slightly vexed question of you don't know under the system under which bone marrow is donated, you don't know who's going to get your bone marrow. Even though they make campaigns from time to time, when they've got their patients, specific patients who know that if they don't get bone marrow, they're not going to survive, and therefore they try and find donors and make big campaigns. In the end, if you're found to be compatible, or you give your blood, you get tested, you find out whether you're compatible for a particular, when they call you up and say, we've got a particular patient who's compatible, you will never know who that patient is. You don't know whether it's going to be a Jewish patient, whether it's going to be a non-Jewish patient. Nevertheless, the problem has discussed this with Dan Antro, that the fact we know that Jewish patients are much more likely to find compatible donors who are Jewish, because their genetic makeup is likely to be more similar. And therefore, if the Jewish community is not prepared to donate bone marrow, the Jewish patients are much, much less likely to be able to find donors when they need it. It's true that a high proportion of the Jewish patients' bone marrow will still be given to non-Jewish patients, but nevertheless, the fact that if the community doesn't get involved in this process, it's certainly Jewish patients are going to suffer. And therefore, it certainly is encouraged by the poskim that one should be prepared to do this, because the risks involved are so small, and the mitzvah is very great. There have been, I haven't discussed this recently, but some years ago there was quite a big chilul Hashem involved in this. There's something called the Anthony Nolan Trust, which is responsible for bone marrow transplantation in London, and they made campaigns to try and get donors, and lots of people are very impressed with all the glossy advertising, and they go and they altruistically go and get tested. But then when they get phoned up and they get told, we actually think you're compatible, are you prepared to go through with the more complex procedure? Are you prepared to have an anesthetic habit? They found that almost invariably people from Orthodox, they told me, Orthodox areas pulled out and didn't go ahead and do it. And therefore, as a result of that, they would stop doing any campaigns in Haredi areas, because they said it was just a waste of money testing them in the first place, because they always pulled out at the end. That's certainly a consideration in this. So the general haskama is that if one can get involved in this process, there is a mitzvah to do so. I don't think I need to say this, but he is to do so, unless you're talking about a specific patient who you know you're compatible with. But certainly it's looked on positively as a positive thing to do. The question comes really then from my kidney donation. Got somebody who's member who's got kidney failure on dialysis. We know that patients who get transplanted do much better in patient dialysis, side inconvenience of dialysis, going needing several times a week to have to be hooked up to a machine, but in the long term survival of patients who get a successful transplant is much longer than those on dialysis. And they've got a relative who's compatible, who's got who blood wise is compatible, who wants to give or asks, are they mechuyev or should they give, donate their kidney to this person? So here we come on to the question, because there is a certain amount of risk involved. There's the risk of the operation, again a very small risk, but it's a larger operation than bone marrow, than harvesting bone marrow. So there's a certain amount of risk involved in the operation, and there's also the uncertain risk of a young person giving their kidney, who knows whether in 10, 20, 30, 40 years' time their remaining kidney might fail and they might require that kidney that they've given up. Again, both of these are small but quantifiable risks. So the question is, are you mechuyev to go to any risk in order to save life? So the main makor for this is the Beit Yosef at the end of Choshen Mishpat. The Beit Yosef says, the Haroch Haver Kaveh Banash Listenbarnalok, somebody's in danger. We learn out from Warren Ben Sarah Mora, where it says that, Minayin Lareyat Haver Shetveh Banach, somebody's in danger, he's dying, he's being attacked. Shulchai Vlatila, how do we know? From the passage which we mentioned before, Lo Klamot El Dam Reyach, you've got to feel you can't stand by if somebody's at risk. So then the Gemara asks, do we learn it out from there? Surely we should learn it out from the passage where it says, Avedas Gufa Minayin, how do we know that just as you have got mitzvah shavas aveda of money, you've got mitzvah shavas aveda of gush. So it says we learn out from Vashi Vesalo. The Gemara says, if it was just from shavas aveda, I would have thought you're only mechuyev to do it yourself. How do you know that you're even mechuyev to go and spend money to hire somebody else to help you do it? That we learn out from the Samad Amrech. Says Beit Yosef, Kosak of Maimonides. Over Birushami Masik, the Maskan of Birushami is a feel of the Hachnikasma of the Sophic Sekonachai. You're even mechuyev to put yourself into a Sophic Sekonachai. He says, you're just weighing up. The most important thing is human life. If one person is vadai in danger, and you've only got a sofek, a small risk of danger, then obviously the vadai outweighs the sofek, and it's better to take your small risk in order to save the person. And we know, and therefore, we've just got to weigh up what is the most likely way that life is going to be saved, and that is by giving it, and therefore you've got mechuyev to do it. And that's the last Beit Yosef from Choshen Mishpat. So interestingly, we've got time to look at it. There's a little historical note there at the end where he says that I finished my beer Beit Yosef on Avach al Kishuk Norov, which he started in Andrinopoli in Turkey in the year 5282, and he finished it after in the year 5302, 20 years of him writing the Beit Yosef. Then he spent another 12 years reviewing it, and he finished it in Yitzvat HaShev Gavet HaElyon, and he says, Achila Lekeh Lachan Eponav Yitzakein Shiyispashe Tachav Yisrael Man Eye Tachav Mastike HaRabin. So that was certainly Mekuyim, both with Beit Yosef and with the Shulchan Aruch, which he wrote later on much more quickly as a summary of the basic halach. The problem is that this halacha is not brought in Shulchan Aruch. Beit Yosef brings this in Beit Yosef, but he never mentions it anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. And the Sma says that since the Poskim, the Gedolei Poskim, the Rif, the Rambam, the Rosh, and the Tur didn't bring this halacha, therefore Beit Yosef didn't bring it in Shulchan Aruch either. And Bishop Shuvah brings an Agudat Esav, and he says, because although this Hagat Maimonides quotes Yerushalmi, the Bavli is mechulek with that, and therefore we passing out the Bavli, and therefore there's no chiyuv to put yourself into a sofek sakana in order to save a vav. The problem is that neither Agos Maimonides mentions which Yerushalmi he's talking about, nor does the Sma or the Agudat Esav mention, do they mention specifically which Bavli is being referred to. They could have said, just mentioned a couple of sources, but it's not clear which Yerushalmi we're talking about, which Bavli. So the Possum say that the Yerushalmi which is referred to is the Yerushalmi in Trumas. So there says the Rav Issi Itzdid, that Rav Issi was the Fasufa, he was caught having some riots. So Rav Yonatan said, Yachar Hamais the Sadina. He's a goner, you may as well just wrap him up in his Sadina, he's got no chance of survival. Rav Shimon Ben Lakish says, Adan or Kotil, Anomaskatil. Rather than letting him die, I'll go and risk my life. I'm not Ezra Moshe's of this, I'll go and try and save him. So you see that Rosh Lakish was prepared to put himself at risk. He said, even if I die, I'm prepared to go and try and save his life. And that's the makor for the Hagos Maimon, is that there's a chiyuv to put yourself into a Sofik Sekhana. The time on that, one of the ways mentions this, is that number one, how do we know that the halacha is like Rosh Lakish? Maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Yonatan, who said he wouldn't do anything. And number two, you certainly can't learn out from here, the chayra, that there's a chiyuv to do it. Rosh Lakish might have wanted to do it, listening to Shuras Adin. How do we know that there's a chiyuv to do it? But this is considered to be the makor that there's a chiyuv to put yourself into Sofik. The because Zayzev brings a Gemara in Nida, which he says is the source for this, for the opposing view, and that there the Gemara says that there were Bnei Galila, who some people came from the Galil, and there was a rumor that they killed somebody, and therefore the police were after them, and they wanted to get hold of them and kill them. So they came in front of Rav Tarfon, and they said to him, "Hide us from the police, protect us." So he said, "What can I do?" He said, "If I hide you, then if I don't hide you, you're going to get seen, you're going to get killed. But if I do hide you, the Rabbanim say that even though you're not allowed to be in the Kabbalah Lashon Hara, but you're allowed to be choshish for Lashon Hara. Maybe the rumor is true, maybe you really are murderers. If the police come and they find you in my house and I'm protecting a murderer and you get found out that you really were murderers, then I myself will be killed." That's the shat in the Gemara, which according to the Tosus, which Tosus brings, that's shat in the Gemara. According to Rashi, the shat is that he says, "I don't want to be killed because it's an issa for me to protect the murderer. If you're a murderer, I don't want to protect you." But the Rosh Hashanah is on that, that's very not mispava, since you don't know whether he's a murderer or not. You should hurry, you have to do the best until you know. But the Tosus learns that the shat is, he says, "I'm not prepared to take a risk that the police will arrest me for protecting you in order to save your life." And that's a makor, therefore, that you're not mechuyev to put yourself into a sofek sakana in order to. It's interesting, the Torah Tanim in Parshas Kedoshim wants to bring a rav from the Gemara in Brachos, same Gemara with Rav Chanina ben Dosa, that there was this snake which was being mazik people, it was biting people and being killed, and he came and he put his, they showed him where the hole was, and he put his foot over the hole, and the snake came and bit him, and the snake died. And that's the famous Gemara where he says, "Ein arog neimis, el achet neimis." And by Shoshomra, "Oyla la'avim shepagaba ba'arot, ba'oyla ba'arot shepagaba b'Rav Chanina ben Dosa." So the Mashal asked there, how could Rav Chanina ben Dosa take the risk of putting his foot there and risk himself getting killed just in order to save other people's lives? So you see from there that the Torah thing wants to say, the Torah says, you see from there that you are mechuyev to put yourself into a sofek sakana, and he says for him it was only a sofek sakana because he knew that he had special koichos and he knew there was a chance HaKadosh Baruch Hu would save him. So for him it was only a sofek sakana. For everybody else it was a vadai sakana. And therefore you see you're mechuyev for, at least it's a good thing to put yourself into a sofek sakana in order to save other people from vadai sakana. But again, Rav Bakhtan is on that. Once you're saying that he thought he could be zocher to a nace, maybe he was certain he would be zocher to a nace. How do you know anymore that once you're coming onto Maisa Nissen, you can't start bringing any riots? You know, Rav Chanina ben Dosa was obviously in a different situation. He was relying on a nace situation, and you can't bring a proof from there for the normal Teva Tzuna situation. The second riot, which Agudat Zeta says, which Rolando also says is probably the most, the strongest of the riots, and that's the Gemara which Yanko was mentioned before. And that is that the Gemara says, if somebody sees his friend drowning, there's a chiyuv of samaz adam re'echa, and there's also a chiyuv of v'hashavot alone. And the Gemara says, why do you need both? To tell us that it's okay, but you have to even go and hire other people to help you save this life. So the says, why does the Gemara have to bring that case? Surely the biggest chiddush would be to say that you even have to risk your life to save somebody else's life. So it's clear why you need to pasuk, because for Hashavas Aveda you don't have to risk your life. So you need the pasuk of the Talmud of Amreecha to tell you that for saving life you even have to risk your life. From the fact that the Gemara doesn't say that, you see l'chaira that the Bavli holds that you're not mechuyev to risk your life in order to save somebody's life. And then there are various other sforos involved. And Maharam Shik says, simply on simple logistic grounds, why should the Samad of Amreichel be different from any other mitzvah in the Torah? No other mitzvah in the Torah which you mechuyev to put your life at risk for. So where, what's the makar to say that for Samadhan and Rafa you should particularly be, have to put your life at risk for? So therefore, that's come of the Poskim and Ravalberg says this, and that is that the Bavli holds, and that the halakha l'maaseh is that you're certainly not mechuyev to put yourself at risk in order to save somebody else's life. The question is, what is the degree of risk that's involved to be able to be called putting yourself at risk? So two other quick makoros that we see in Rishonim is the Loshon of Ne'iri in Sanhedrin Ayin Gimel, where he says also lo sos dof ba'atmo, we're talking about there you've got here to go and save life, but in hu yochel below sakana. The Loshon of Ne'iri is if you can go and save somebody below sakana, then you've got a chiyus to do it. And there's an Urta Meach, which one of us down in that shul, which I just saw this morning as well, who brings a riot from the Gemara from the Rambam in Hilchos Ritzeach, where it seems like quite clear, where the Gemara talks there about if somebody is in Golus and he's in, he was a Ritzeach for shaving and he's in Golus, so it says that he doesn't have to go out, even if he knows somebody's agents that could save somebody's life. Or even if he's needed by Kol Yisrael Tzrichim Tshuva, like Yosef Tzruya, any Yotzim Shamla, Olaman Mos Pein God, who doesn't go out to do that, even though he can save life, doesn't do that. Why? Because if he goes out, the Goel Adom has got the right to kill him. So it seems from here clear that he's not mechuyev to risk his life from the Goel Adom killing him in order to save somebody else's life.
The risk is very high.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm answering. The question is, what degree of risk are we talking about? So the posuk, which really all the poskim refer to this tshuva, but they interpret it slightly differently, is the Ratzav. There's the Tishkei Shuvah brings down the Ratzav, and the Ratzav is the shayla there, if a despot told somebody, either I'll cut off your ear or I'll kill somebody else, but he has to allow his ear to be cut off in order to prevent somebody else being killed. And he says two things are about this. Certainly he says, number one, cutting off somebody's ear could lead them to be Sakonis Nefashis, and therefore you're not included to do anything. He says any Sakonis Eva, any cutting off an Eva, could eventually lead to Sakonis Nefashis. But then he says, besides that, Suta Sifta Rocher Zache Noyam, the Tzorish Mishra Zenu, you must see Mamala Seichel, it has to be Seichelzik, the Torah has to be Seichelzik, and how would you expect somebody to blind themselves or to cut off their ear or their hand? He just says it's not logical, it doesn't fit in to Rocher Zache Noyam, the Torah from himself without bringing any proof of it. But then he says, so therefore he says there's nothing, there's no chiyuv to do it, but there's a midas chassidus. Tehokav any roa tam that in there and a midas chassidus for asher chelcha mishu chalamu v'zeh. Some of you can do that, it's a midas chassidus, but there's no chiyuv to do it. Then he says, in yesh sofek sakonis nefashis, but if there's a sofek sakonis nefashis involved, then it's a chassid shaiter. Which seems to be a bit of a contradiction. Before the beginning he said every case is a case of sakonis nefashis, and then he says that it's a mitzvah to do, it's still a good thing to do, and then he says that it's a mitzvah to do, it's a chassid shaiter. So what's going on here? So lechora, it seems to be a question of how great the sofek is. It's obviously cutting off the ear or doing the things is only a very, very slight sofek the person's going to die. It's in such a way that the risk of him actually dying from it is very, very small. So he seems to be saying that because the risk is very, because there is a very small risk of sakonis nefashis, you can't be mechayev the person to do it. But if there's but nevertheless it could be a midas chassidus if there's a very small risk involved. But if there's sakonis nefashis, i.e. a real significant risk, a 50-50 risk perhaps, where the risk of sakonis nefashis to you is almost as great as the sakonis nefashis of the other person, then the person is a chassid shaiter. So the maskana of the Agudas Eitzah based on that is that you've got no chiyuv to put yourself into risk. And in the case where the risk is very significant, it would seem that you're not allowed to do it. In the case where the risk is small, you haven't got a chiyuv to do it. So the interesting lashon of the Agudas Eitzah, the Aruch HaShulchan brings down that. He says, Sorek lishkol ha'inyan hetiv, you have to weigh it up well. In yeshbo sofek sakona, the lo ledaktik b'yosi, you shouldn't be too strict on yourself and say, oh, everything could be a bit of a sakona. And his ka'am really, like Gemara says, shalach kodim l'chalodim, cholam l'dakti ba'atmoi, kach so'ba l'dekach. It's lashon that somebody's too l'dakti on himself, Hashemi comes to the thing himself. So in other words, he's saying that you haven't got a chiyuv to put yourself in sakana, but on the other hand, you shouldn't say too easily, this is sakana, act of sakana, there's a midas chassidus certainly to do it, if the sakana is within normal range. So the Maskam de Tzitz Eliezer, based on all this, is a bit strange, because Maskam de Tzitz Eliezer is that there's no, as a result of this, there's no, certainly no chiyuv to give kidney donations. He's very definite about that. And he's even got some doubts about whether you'd be allowed to do it based on the degree of sakon. He says that's the way doctors have told him that there's a sakon involved with it. But the maskana of the poskim from the sources, he seems to say, would certainly seem to indicate that the way we understand the degree of sakana that is involved, and perhaps things have changed a bit, but the degree of sakana which is involved is certainly lachayra not great enough to be able to say that that it should come, that, you know, that it should come, that should actually be an is involved in it. One would think it would fit into the much more into the geder of the Avodah Zarah, that not to be medactic yos midai, because the risk is on balance is very small. And as a tshuva, interestingly, just in parenthesis, he does mention that even the Tzitzit is quite negative about the whole thing. Does mention that you have other things to consider. For example, if there was a Talmud Chacham who could be saved, the person was an Amoritz and had a chance of saving the Talmud Chacham. Or he says a mother who could save her son who's got the possibility of being the kind of mitzvah Tirajarivya or mitzvah of Limatera, and she hasn't anymore got the possibility of doing that. And he says, they said those are other considerations. Even Sicilias was a bit negative about things, so those are other considerations that might have to be taken into consideration. And he says at the end, if the doctors are masking that the risk is very small, then he would also give his brocha to going ahead with it. But the general thrust of the tshuva is that he's quite negative about it. But it's interesting, Rav Avadia Yosef's got the tshuva using exactly the same sources which we've discussed, coming to really the opposite conclusion, simply because he says he's discussed with the doctors and they say that the risk is small of kidney donation, and that degree of risk, well, is, he says he can't get machuyis to take, but certainly it's a dovah tov to do, and he says shem mitzvah le'yed dovah rov, it will be a brocha, and that he's very strongly encouraging that one should do it. So in the end, the basis, it seems to be clear that all the poskim would basically agree that we don't pass them like the Yerushalmi, that you've got a chiyuv to put yourself into a true Sofik sakana in order to. We pass them that you don't have a chiyuv to do it. And the basic thrust would seem to be that where there's only a very small risk involved, then certainly it's a midas kafidus to do it, certainly a mitzvah to do it, a midas kafidus to do it. Where there's a significant risk involved, and again, I can't say what you consider significant, that has to be weighed up into individual cases, and generally doctors wouldn't do the procedure if they thought, no doctor is going to operate on a healthy person if they thought that there was a really significant risk involved, because obviously you know that you're treating a healthy person in order to save a sick person. So therefore, by the very fact that the operation is offered, normally means that the risk must be small in the way we do it. So therefore, even possibly lung and liver load donations might also still come under the category of the risk being small enough that it falls under certainly Rav Yosef's tshuva, and certainly for the Lashon of Gedazah, that not to be medactic yos midai, that lechora certainly comes into the geder of a mitzvah, although certainly I don't think anybody would say that where there's any risk involved, that any significant risk involved, that it would come into the geder of a chiyuv, that one could be Machai of you to do it. So just finally, in doing, there's one other interesting tshuva of Rav Zilberstein, and that talks about taking the organ of a minor, of a kohen, before bar mitzvah, where he's got, let's say, a sibling who needs donation. Can parents give consent to take an organ from one child, from a child, for another child? And then he says, clearly not. It's clear that these things, since we said there's no chiyuv, since we said this is in the inyan of mitzvah chasidus, in the inyan of mitzvah, you can't assume the will of the cotton, and therefore even though there's halacha, an apotropos can do whatever you assume the cotton would have done. So he says he considers the possibility that if you're absolutely certain that this cotton and this question, that if he were able to give consent, he would give consent for it, then maybe you could use that way. But then he says, in the case in which he was asked, it turned out that there was another child. There was also a child. There was two cases. There was one child who knew what they were doing, was over bar mitzvah, and there was also this younger child. And he said that the it turned out one who's over by mitzvah didn't want to give their organ. So if the one who's over by mitzvah didn't want to give their organ, you obviously can't make the assumption that the one who's under by mitzvah definitely would want to give it, and therefore he says you can't do it because the child can't give consent. So we see that the basic principles are that it seems that there is a mitzvah to get involved with these things if one can, the possibility of saving life, if the risk is within very low limits, but these things need obviously due consideration, they need discussion with the doctor, and they need consent of the patient, so it can only be done by people who are able to give consent. You can't take it from people who are katan, you can't take it from people who are shaken and don't know what they're doing, and so it's better to save the life of somebody who knows what they're doing. Whatever is done has to be done with the full understanding and consent, and if in those situations it would seem that certain most of the pasuk can give their bracha in order to try to do this if it's for the sake of life-saving procedures. It's a shame we shouldn't need to get involved in these questions, and they shouldn't be required, but I think it's quite a useful and important thing to know what the basic attitudes of the pasuk are.